This is a reading from the second book of Kings. Naaman, the commander of the king of Aram, was highly esteemed and respected by his master, for through him the Lord had brought victory to Aram. But vigilant as he was, the man was a leper. Now the Arameans had captured in a raid the land of Israel. A little girl who became the servant of Naaman's wife said, "If only my master would present him to the prophet in Samaria," she said to her mistress, "he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went and told his lord just what the slave girl from the land of Israel had said. "Go," said the king of Aram, "I will send her along with a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman set out, and taking along sent 10 silver talents, 6,000 gold pieces, and 10 festal garments to the king, and he brought the letter which read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When he read the letter, the king of the Israelites tore his garments and exclaimed, "Am I a god with power over life and death, that this man should send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? Take note, you can see he's only looking for a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his garments, he sent word to the king, "Why have you torn your garments? Let him come to me and find out that there is a prophet in Israel." Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. The prophet sent him the message, "Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be healed, and you will be clean." But Naaman went away angry, saying, "I thought he would surely come out and stand there and invoke the Lord his God, and he would move his hand over the spot and thus cure the leprosy. Are not the rivers of Damascus and Abanim and far better than all the waters of Israel? Could I have not washed in them and be cleansed?" With that he turned about in anger and left. But his servants came up and reasoned with him and said, "My father," they said, "if the prophet had told you to do something extraordinary, would you not have done it? And all the more now, since he has said to you, 'Wash and be clean,' you should do then as he said." So Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan 7 times at the word of the man of God. And his flesh again became like that of a little child, and he was clean. He returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. Upon his arrival, he stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
No, I think the reading like this tells me that a little bit something about the sacraments, the 7 sacraments that we have. You know, a lot of people are a little bit scandalized, I think, by the sacraments of the church, particularly Protestants. And for example, you know, just consider before we even look at that part of it, how humble the elements that the Lord uses to bring about his saving love to us through the sacraments: water, oil, laying out of hands, bread and wine, and so on. You know, very humble and simple things. Nothing extraordinary. Just simple, ordinary things. Not the gold of the earth or some precious stones, but simple things like oil, bread, wine, water, the laying out of hands, the pronouncing of some words, and even more humbly, that the Lord tends, you know, will work his sacraments through another human person, the priest, or in some cases the bishop. And you know, it takes a lot of faith, doesn't it, to think that you could go to an ordinary man such as myself or any priest and speak of your sins and find absolution from God in that simple way. And many of the Protestants, especially about confession, just sort of like Naaman the Syrian. This is crazy. You know, aren't there better ways to have our sins forgiven than to go tell your sins to the priest? Can't I just tell them directly to God and so on? And now, by the way, the answer to that question is, sure, you can tell your sins directly to God, but Jesus himself set up the sacrament of confession for us. Obviously, he expected us to make use of it. In John chapter 20, he said to the apostles, he breathed on those apostles, not just on all the disciples in general, but the apostles, and said, "Who sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Who sins you retain, they are retained." He gave them the authority to forgive sin, see. In James chapter 2, it is said that if anyone among you is sick, let him send for the priest of the church. Let the priest pray over him and anoint him with oil. And if this man has committed any sins, if this person has committed any sins, his sins should be forgiven him. Therefore, the text says, declare your sins one to another, for the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. And who is that righteous man? You know, very often people love to quote that the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. But in that particular case, the text is more specific than just any disciple. It's the calling of the elders, the priest of the church that's referred to there. Who is the righteous man? It is the priest. Whose prayer avails much? That of the priest. What a prayer for what? The forgiveness of sin. For declare your sins one to another, says the text. For the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See? So, in Scripture, if you want to be a biblical Christian, it's not simply enough for us simply to only tell our sins to God. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says declare your sins one to another. The Bible says call the righteous man, call the priest. The text says from John 20, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you are forgiven are forgiven. In Acts, I believe it's in the second chapter, it is said that many came to the apostles. Many who were believers came to the apostles divulging, that is to say, telling their secrets or their practices. See, so in the early church, confession was a part of the early church. So you see again, now getting back to this whole idea, you know, Naaman is kind of scandalized. You know, the River Jordan is barely a creek. It's just not much of a river to begin with. And it's a very, very narrow and kind of very, you know, just a small little river, and there are many more mighty rivers. And Naaman says, couldn't I have gone and washed in a bigger, mightier river than this little creek? You know, so on. It's remarkable how easily we can just sort of be that way about the sacraments. We make light of them. We think there should be bigger, more dramatic ways that God will work in our life. But in these humble little ways, God works. You know, a friend of mine, getting back to the whole question of how some of the Protestants deal with confession, say that a friend of mine had a Catholic priest, had a friend, a neighboring pastor who was a Baptist minister. And the Baptist minister often said, you know, you Catholics are all wrong about this confession thing. You know, all you need to do is talk directly to God about your sins. I mean, the idea that somehow God would somehow give forgiveness through you is ludicrous. It's crazy. And so anyway, one day, a sign went up at the Baptist church that Reverend Smith will be holding a healing service this coming week on Wednesday night. Everybody come, and the Reverend Smith will pray that you'll be healed of all your afflictions. And so, the church, and they would have these every so often, and this Reverend Smith would pile, the church would be packed, and he'd lay hands, and he'd wave, and he'd bless people, and people would, you know, accept. And so, my Catholic priest friend went and said to Reverend Smith, he said, do you really mean to think that somehow God could work through you to bring healing to someone? Why can't they just ask God directly to be healed? Why do they need to come to you? Ms. Reverend Smith said, well, that's different than confession. Now, you have to understand that. He says, no, really, it isn't. That's exactly our Catholic belief about the sacrament of confession. It is God's work to forgive sin, but he can work through the priest, you see, who can pray for healing. For the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, with that in mind, I just want to leave those thoughts with you that that the sacraments, in many ways, are shockingly simple and humble experiences. Two people getting together, a priest and a person, and sins are described, and a prayer said, and hands are laid on the head, just imposed, and this humble bread and wine. This humble bread that has now become the body of Christ, which is here with us today in the Blessed Sacrament. Humble, simple oil. Simple things. Bread, wine, water. A simple man, hopefully a humble man, but I mean, not a great man. I'm just an ordinary man. But God can do important and powerful things through simple things like bread and wine and water. And even through a simple human person like Charles Polk, God can do these things. And so, Naaman was shocked and horrified at this almost stupidly simple thing he was told to do. So they said, do it anyway. The man of God told you to do it. And he did it, and he was healed. It looks like bread, but when we receive it, it's truly the body of Christ. Believe what the Lord teaches. Sounds like just an ordinary sinner just like me saying, and I absolve you from your sins, but it's not. It's Christ who speaks. We need to overcome the scandal of the simple and see the rich and powerful hand of God in the sacraments. Amen.